you for listening to the Sanctioned Love podcast. Our vision is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ.
You know, we are at the Amazing Pursuit, and this weekend, there is such a pursuit of Him coming after us with such a ravenous love. It's an apprehension of the Father that's apprehending us. Just like Paul said, I apprehend that which apprehended me. It's an earnest pursuit. It's God towards us and us towards Him. It's a longing, it's a leaning in, it's an inclining your ear to those places that you so long to hear. He is moving in such a way in the entire globe. He is appearing to people. He is coming, running after the body of Christ. He is running after the unsaved. He is running. He is wrecking the kingdom of darkness in this day like never before. We are walking as the head and not the tail. That means that we walk in a place of victory instead of being a victim. In our life where we think, just like the worship team talked about, with fear and defeat, and some of these places where we might feel like I don't measure up, or we might have comparison issues, or we might feel like we are lonely. Those are places that this weekend, I just challenge you to let the pursuit of the King of Kings come into those wound places and say, I want to give you a kiss. I want to kiss you so that when you can take a touch that is in public, you can go behind closed door in your secret place and you can experience the kiss of heaven. Because without going from conference to conference or an event to event, it's great to have a public touch, and we're going to minister to you tonight. But unless you have a private kiss, unless you have the kiss of the King and know Him and be willing to pay that price, to willing to say, I'm going to hide out where nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows what you do. But you long to be with Him. He's the desire of everything that your heart beats for. You are willing to lay it all down. And when Jesus comes to you and He says, baby girl, your scripture these last couple years is going to be to die is to gain. I always say, I did not sign up for that scripture. I don't like that scripture. I want the other one. I mean, even Jesus wept or something. I mean, I don't want that one. But when He says, are you willing to surrender to gain Christ? Are you willing to lay it all down and to choose Him? I choose, Paul said, I know in whom I trust in. What are you willing? What is He requiring of your life? What is He requiring of your heart? What is He requiring of you to say, I need to give this and lay it aside? How many hours are we on Facebook? How many hours, I'm not against that, but how many hours when He's waiting at the edge of heaven and He's just saying, I'm longing for intimacy. I am longing. I am desiring. There's no formula. It's not like, you know, three sentences and an amen, or I've got to do it because, you know, so-and-so over here, or I listened to some famous speaker and they were on TV and they said, pray for 17 hours a day. I mean, you know, if you're led to do that, it is according to what is the pull of your own heart. Learn to lean into Him and hear His heartbeat for you so that when He calls you by name, you are inclined to hear. Because you are sheep and you know His voice. Therefore, a stranger's voice you do not follow. You can't follow a stranger's voice if you're inclined to the shepherd. It's intimacy. We all know that. Intimacy. look and see, God, I don't even know what I need to surrender that I could gain Christ. I don't even know, but you know my heart. And I'm so willing to say, look inside. Just look inside. Search me and know me and see if there's any wicked way in me that I could bow my heart, that I could walk humbly and justly before my King. Are we willing to allow the pursuer to come into that place? Vulnerability. Being so vulnerable that it despised the shame. Jesus was vulnerable on a cross. And when he died, for the joy that was set before him, it despised the shame. And we carry, you know what the Lord told me? He said, shame is an epidemic in the body of Christ. It's an epidemic. He despised the shame. Shame is what hides under anger. Shame is what hides under codependency. Shame is what hides under drive-by shootings. Do you know what a drive-by shooting is? I don't know. Look at her. Look at him. Oh, that church over there. He is not in this for fluff. He is in this for passion and surrender. He is in this for the desire because he is pursuing you earnestly. He is coming after you with a ravenous, crazy. He's got calls. And when you find out your call, those gifts just come. Everybody's like, what's the gift? What's the gift? What's the gift? And he's like, I'm going to give you your call. And when you get your call, the gifts will flow. And the flowing of the gifts is for the moment at the time. And he'll develop you in the secret place of that gift. That's when he gives you those gifts. And you can sit before your papa, and it's just you and him, and he's about to just give you the kiss of heaven, and you're unwrapping the presence of heaven. And nobody knows about it. Nobody gets to always know what you learn in the secret place. Nobody always gets to hear what you hear in the secret place. It's a secret. It's a secret. But those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And in Romans 8:28, it says he is waiting for the revealings of the sons and daughters of the Most High God by groanings. And when you get and you are groaning with hunger, hunger and thirsty, you shall be filled. And we so look around, we say we're hungry, but we're so full of ourselves that we haven't emptied ourselves to come into line with God. We have to empty ourselves. He became of no reputation. He became of no, he emptied himself. That's the difference because of when we get of the transformation into the transfiguration. That word means empty of yourself. There can be no self. But when we walk as the glorified ones, walking in the power and the truth of the written and the rhema, the revelatory word of God that you get because you say, this is his heart. This right here, I just say, Jesus, this is your heart to me. It's a love story. I'm going to sit down and you're going to kiss me through the pages. I'm not going to say, okay, I got my 20 minutes in. It's his heart. On paper, nothing less than his heart. And you cannot have the Spirit without the truth. For in these days, my people will worship me. Worshippers must worship me in spirit and in truth. You can't have one without the other. Otherwise, we have legalism and religion. And then we get into tradition and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herducees or whatever they're called. They had to create all these laws and rules that were 614. My lands, thank you, Jesus, that all I have to do is love. Are we willing to love when no one loves you back? Are you willing to love when they spit in your face? Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing? Because he's waiting for your call to match your gifts and to be revealed in the earth. It's a revealing of the sons and daughters. He wants to pull back and circumcise your heart and take the foreskin off. He wants to reveal the hidden treasure of you in him. You inside of him and him inside of you. Knowledge puffs up. We can know the word and never know the word. He is waiting. Hell is so afraid of you. Hell is so afraid of you and what you have on the inside of you. Hell is so afraid. We can't live limited. Sin causes us to live limited. And we live casual before the king. And there's a price. I know that this isn't a fluffy message, and I'm sorry, I didn't even intend to really, but he is so longing for the bride and the kiss of heaven, of intimacy. We can do ministry. How many people, how many of you guys, come on, we know them. We know ourselves. We do ministry. We love people. We go to church. We do the thing. But Israel knew the acts, but Moses knew the ways. Exodus 32. Moses knew. He was the one that knew face to face. Breath to breath. Breath to breath. What could it possibly look like to have Ezekiel 37, you know, there is dry bones. If you're dry, we prophesy to the east wind, the north wind, the south wind, and the west wind. And we say, come winds of heaven and blow over dry places and prophesy to your bones that you could stand and be a vast army, that I may gain Christ in the beauty of his holiness. Not my own worth, not my own self, but to gain him. There's nothing like to gain him. There's nobody like him. He's the lover of my soul. He's my main embrace. He's my best friend. He's worth the price. He's so worth the price. He's worth the price to pay. He chose you first. It's an honor. He chose you first. Like he chose you. You're his chosen people. You're a royalty. You're a holy nation. You've been set apart for such a time as this. To call a nation you don't know. Why? Because now you've inclined your ear and he is calling you to sit before him. David said, I set the Lord before me. I set the Lord before me. A few months ago, or I don't even know, but when one day the Lord was like, get a picture of me. Okay, I mean, and I have a picture that we got in Reno, and he said, just set the picture before me. Just sit the picture and just gaze at me. Don't pray. Just look at me. Just look at me. Just have embrace. Let me tell you some secrets today. Do you want to know a secret? David said, my soul and my spirit wait. And to discipline your mind, your will, and your emotion under the dominion of your spirit takes waiting in the presence of the King. It's a call to holiness. He is calling the bride back to holiness. Holiness is not a religious word. It's a pure passion, and it releases you to the ones that need him the most. We have set sometimes a poor example out there of unadulterated, where we have mixture in our waters. Nobody likes to drink murky water. We have filters so that streams of living water can flow. He puts streams of living water in you that the pureness of the kingdom of God could flow from you to a lost and dying people. People that need healing in their spirit and in their soul. You're qualified. Because the blood, you're righteous. You're a right standing before the King of Kings. He made you that way. He paid a price. Don't live limited under who you are in him. He's worth it all. He's worth it. He, him, and the cloud of witnesses are saying, run your race. Obtain the prize. Get it all. Get it all. Cheer each other on. Celebrate the gifts of God in each other. Stop comparing. Stop living limited. It's time that the body of Christ celebrated you and you and him and her. And the world saw the love of no comparison, and we drawed all men. He drawed all men nigh. He draws all men nigh. We can't do it apart from him. We do all things through Christ who strengthens us in our mortal body, right? We don't do it by might. We don't do it by power, but we do it by the Spirit of a living God who is willing and able and is at hand. And he is the greater one that is in us. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he lives in you. And he's waiting to raise people from the dead through you. Spirit. Soul, mind, and body. Could it be that you could dream like that? Could it be that you could believe? That's me? Yes, it is. That's you and you and you and you and you and you and you. You lack for no good thing, and every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. And he is the light upon your path, and he has flooded you with light. Ephesians 2. He floods you with revelatory light. How many times do we hear information? We hear so much information. But revelation makes us accountable. And revelation sticks to you. But information, I mean, we're flooded. We've got the internet. We've got it at our, we Google. I mean, Siri is a prayer partner of Sanctioned Love. We just say, Siri, what does this mean? We get sent my prayer. We've added her in. But we get some weird answers sometimes, though. And we've tried to get her saved, but she doesn't want to admit that. But but we have information at our fingertips. But where you get the revelation is one place. One place. It's in the secret place. with this in him. He's longing for that. Information will affect your mind, but revelation affects your heart and your voice. You are a voice. You're not an echo. You're not an echo. You're a voice. Everybody's heard information. Good word, a good teaching. It's good. It's not that it's bad. But when it becomes knowledge, it can puff up. But love doesn't. Be connected to the one that already has it all. Just be connected to the vine. Be connected to him. Don't be a hungry person and appear full. Don't be walking around like, I don't need prayer. I got it all together. But you're dying of starvation on the inside. I mean, if we could see in the spirit and you just go into a church body, you're just like, what the heck? Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Live like that. Live as an overcomer. Live as one that it doesn't matter. I'm not saying be a victim and say, pray for me. I have this. And every 10 minutes you come up to somebody, I have a next problem. Next. Okay, and then there's another one. I'm saying go to the kiss of heaven behind closed doors. And then come and find a company of people that you trust. And that you carefully say, this is what I need. Can you agree in faith? And come in the unity of the brethren and the bonds of peace. And come and make your requests be made known unto him. And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And they will make the crooked path straight. And the mountains high and the valleys low. The word of God is alive. It will divide between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. And it will reveal all the intentions of the heart. And we're coming together in unity. God wants the unity of the brethren across the globe like never before. Why? Because there's a harvest coming. My husband just had a dream a couple nights ago. And he said, Jesus is coming at this event. We were all at this event. And Jesus walked through the door and it was boom, a vast mass of people as far as the eye could see. They're coming in. They're coming in. That's the joy that's set before us. He paid the price, for the King of Kings is coming back. And the redeemed get to say so, and we get to be co-laborers with him, and we get to walk side by side as healed and whole and delivered as sanctified children of the Most High God. It's a privilege to be a daughter and a son of the main King, the only King. It's a privilege, such a privilege. The unfolding of his word, it brings light. It's that unfolding. This is the manifolded wisdom of God. And the unfolding of his wisdom in Psalm 119, in Ephesians 3, the unfolding of this brings the manifolded wisdoms of God to you. Pull back and let the manifolded wisdoms of God shed light in dark places, hidden places. Let this secret hidden place reveal hidden places of your own heart. Could you trust him to do that? Could you be so brave to get to know him that way? Hunger and thirst, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. They shall. We are filled. We are. Once you decree a thing, we can watch it be established. Dare to dream the impossible over your life. What could you possibly dream for? A thing that the Lord shared with me, I don't know, a few days ago, or I'm not sure if we were in prayer Mondays, but a few years ago, the Lord had shared about, and some of you have heard this, but about Elizabeth and Mary and the generations that are coming together in this time in the earth. And he said that when Elizabeth met and was pregnant with John the Baptist, and when Mary came to her house and she was pregnant with Jesus, that they were both pregnant with a supernatural gift. And they were two generations, and when they met and they met the gift, their gift leapt. And in the body of Christ, God is wanting the entire body of Christ to leap with the gifts and the call one to another. And to celebrate each other. So we have seen revivals come. We've seen revivals go. We have seen all throughout history, Azusa Street, John G. Lake, we've seen Smith Wigglesworth. They are the heroes of our faith. Toronto Blessing, we've experienced that. Pensacola. And we are on the cusp of the greatest revival harvest the earth has ever seen. How we steward it. And how we hold on to it is what we need to capture. So, there was this father, and he took his son fishing. And the father gave the son the fishing pole. And the son gets this huge fish. It was a beauty. I act like I know what fishing is, but I really don't. But a huge beauty. What would you call it, Tom? A trophy. There we go. High five. So he captures this huge fish. And the dad is like, quick, get the camera and capture it, don't lose it, capture that big trophy fish, capture it. And the guy is fumbling around, and because everything is happening so fast and they don't know how to sustain it, the snake comes up and grabs the fish and takes it away. And they never captured at that moment what the father was trying to teach the younger generation, how to capture and sustain that harvest. And in this time, from both generations, from the old to the young, because God is moving in the babies. The babies are prophesying. The babies are seeing dreams. It's a Joel 2:2 that your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. They are going to dream dreams. They are going to have visions. But how we train them and how the young people have a voice that is captured and teaching them to capture this harvest for this time is so prevalent that we celebrate the gift of God, that it's not that generation and this generation. It is us working together as the body of Christ, and we are training one to another. The millennials are not a bad generation. generation. They are in the time of now, and they are for such a time as this. My children are millennials. My friends, my best friends are millennials. They have calls of God on them that's going to touch the world. Our grandchildren, teach them how to see. Teach them how to hear what they see. What you see is what you hear in the spirit. Teach them their senses in the spirit. Teach them to capture the harvest and how to nurture the soul and how to raise them healthy. It's time that we celebrate as a body of Christ and we get rid of our shame. And we get rid of the things that are so easily entangling us, that all this CRAP just keeps, you know, it entangles us. Sin so easily entangles us. And before we know it, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, and we've been pickpocketed. We don't even know where we're lost because we're walking down the street and we're going to go shopping and our wallet's gone. We don't even know what he steals from us. We get halfway down the path and we feel depressed. And I don't even know what happened in this season. Last season, I was full of joy. And this over here, I had, oh, I was hope. But now I'm like, oh. And I'm jealous and I'm angry and I hate them. And we don't even know because we didn't sit before the King and have a kiss with the King. Oh, how he would love to have intimacy with us. There's nothing like it. To not answer your phone, to get up in the middle of the night, to sit before him, and just to love him. To obtain the prize, to finish your race well. What is so easily entangling us? What are the things? Song of Solomon said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The vine is what connects us. He's the vine. What are the little things? What's the excuses? What are the things that so easily entangle us? We don't want to lose the harvest. God's not going to let this revival go. He's not. We're not missing out on this. I want to see what my husband saw. I'm like, and Dan, some of you know Dan, he's just very stoic. I came home, he said, I had a dream. Turns off the TV, sit down. Okay, I'm all ears. I'm inclining my ear. And he shared this most beautiful, he just wept. He goes, I got to see a piece of Jesus' heart about the harvest. I got a glimpse into that. It was a tender mercy of a kiss. His tender mercies are new every single morning. It's just knowing how to appropriate those mercies that you have never seen before. And asking the how can I serve you and sit at your feet like a Mary. And taste and see that you're so good in a land of living. And live and enter the gate with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. How do I enter with thanksgiving today, Father? When my life, I can't put two pieces together. How do I come thankful? How can I love you? How can I love you? With a broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. He won't despise it. He won't despise it. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with addiction. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with pornography. It doesn't matter if you're having an affair. Nothing separates you from the love of God. But He loves you enough to not leave us the way we are. There is such freedom in the presence of the King. There's such freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is great liberty. The Spirit of the Most High God, there's liberty. It's time the bride had no spots and wrinkles. Not because we're works, but because His works of love through us shine us all up by grace. When we lean in and yield to Him and say, I am full of this, and I need to empty myself so I can be transfigured. And nothing can fill that space. What's filling our hearts and taking the space of where God wants to come in and encapsulate every portion of you? You are His portion. You're His portion. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Is it Natalie or Meg? Who's Seth? Who's playing? He will give you as much as you're hungry for. Ask Him, I'm not that hungry, but I want to be hungry. Oh man, you just watch out. He'll make you hungry. Whatever, He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He's a ferocious lover. And He will give you a measure of what you jealously guard if you steward it well. If you steward His whisper, if you steward His embrace, if you steward His kiss, if you long for more in your broken place, He will come and He'll say, I'll give you more, because He wants to create a greater capacity in you so that you're so stretched and the oil of your tent pegs is stretched way out so that you could be the tabernacle where His presence and His glory could be so filled. And He could teach you to steward the knowings and the secrets of heaven. So that when you came to Him, you came thirsty. He said, come to me in Matthew. All who are weary and thirsty, come to me and I'll give you rest. He said that in a really loud voice. Come to me. Come to Him tonight. Seek Him while He may be found. He's ever inclining to you. He's ever leaning in. If you just lean, you know, we were talking about this at prayer with Marcy the other day and the team, and it's like incline. You know, when you're inclining, you're off balance. It's a little uncomfortable sometimes to incline. You can't just have control in every area of your life when you're inclined. Incline. Could you trust Him to hold you at a weird angle? Could you trust the One? Could you trust Him? To know Him is the greatest honor. It's the greatest honor. It's the greatest privilege. He's so worth it all. Doesn't matter what you go through. Just because you stand and you speak doesn't mean your life is peaches and cream. My life has not been peaches and cream at all. But I found the one who pursued me in the midst of those places. And I let him put a hook in my jaw and lean me in. And so tonight, we have all day tomorrow, and I would just ask. I know you're tired, and I'm so privileged some of you have drove so far, but could you lean tonight? Could you give him your lean? Could you give him your incline and incline your ear? You know, in Revelations 3:20, he said, I knock. And if you let me in, I'll dine with you. I'll eat with you. I'll sup with you. You can taste and see the goodness of God. And you go to Isaiah 55 and you go back there and it'll say, it's because you incline that you can taste. What would it look like tonight to believe what you've never believed for in the presence of the King? Where could he take you? What would he heal? And how could he show you his love? My gosh, his love, it never fails. It reaches to the heavens. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. So I'm going to ask my team to come. And we're going to minister to you. We invite you to come. We invite you to get off balance a little bit and trust the one who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Faith is the assurance of things that you are hoping for and the evidence of things that are not seen. What do you need evidence for tonight? What do you need evidence in? Where's your hope that you need? He wants to lavish you with kisses and love. Could you be so brave?
We hope you have enjoyed this session. To learn more about Sanctioned Love, visit our website at www.sanctionedlove.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. To partner financially with the Ministry of Sanctioned Love, visit www.sanctionedlove.com/donate.